future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. In traditional SVK crypto fashion, we're going to jump straight into it today. For us here, we've had an amazing week thus far. We've had lots of meetings. I think what's really interesting now is that we're starting to see a lot of the big banks. We've had a meeting with a few, especially with representatives from the ultra high net worth client desk of a few different banks. And I've spoke to a few different other venture capital firms in the city of London. And I know they've had similar meetings whereby a lot of their clients, the bank's clients that is, are looking for blockchain exposure. They're not looking for exposure in traditional, well, non-traditional tokens per se. They're looking for exposure to blockchain technology via an equity investment into a project that's either utilizing blockchain and what they already do. Let's say they already have revenue or revenue generating. And I think it's really interesting that we're starting to see that. I think we're starting to see the first sips of institutional capital coming into the space. You've had lots of different announcements recently, people disclosing their investments. For example, Coinbase, one of their investors was SIG. SIG is a Singapore wealth fund that managed around $100 billion. They're an investment into their last round that was done last year. They're an investor into that round, right? They're an institution. So the question you may be asking yourself, well, what does it all mean? Well, it means this. We've been talking about institutional capital coming into the crypto space for a while now. And while they may not be buying ERC-20 tokens themselves, because the process just isn't in place for them to sign off on that, we're starting to see capital entering into the space in different ways, shapes, and forms. And it's really going after the blockchain component per se. Now, I'm not one of those people that say blockchain good, crypto bad. I believe in cryptocurrency to the highest extent. I also believe in blockchain technology, and I believe they come together. But what we're going to start to see, and a lot of the projects that, let's say, a lot of the institutions have been investing in from a venture capital standpoint, let's say those guys have a token generation event in the future, the projects themselves, well, that would mean that the institutions would carry exposure to those tokens, right? So it's really interesting to see what's going on, what's happening on that standpoint. And I think that we're going to start to see more and more capital enter into the space, especially when the market picks back up. People are very aware of it. From the conversations we've had here at SVK Crypto, the institutions are very up to speed. They know what's going on. They know what's going down. They don't necessarily know the ins and outs of what is going on from a technical aspect, but they understand the fundamentals, they understand the vision, they understand the big picture, and a few of them have even understood the community, which was something that impressed me. And this is something that I see as really, really exciting. I see this as a really positive sign. A lot of people out there, especially in the crypto community, are talking about how we don't need institutional capital coming in and how it's not going to come in as well. And I that's not something I agree with. If you look at the space at the minute, and these facts are from a speech that Mike Novogratz gave at a Bloomberg talk back end of last year. He said that the space was 98% retail. The cryptocurrency market was 98% retail. That's extremely alarming for two reasons. One, because it's all retail driven, and retail traders in the industry are known to be the worst traders. They buy at the high and they sell at the low. They're impulsive traders. And the second reason that's alarming is because institutional capital represents a lot of the wealth in the world. They're custodians of it. They're guardians. And I think having the on-ramps for them to come into the space is key to really take the space to the next level, to increase dev teams, to increase the awareness of the space, to increase the underlying technology itself. It needs more capital. It needs more time, it needs more resources. And for this really to have the effects that we know it can, I'm talking about blockchain and token utilization, you need more people to use it. And institutional capital coming into the space will bring that itself. So I think it's very exciting what's going on in the background. I wanted to just share my thought of the day across while I had the opportunity to. So with that in mind, let's jump into some of the stories that have been going down. I really wanted to take a different approach today. While I have you on, I have your attention, which we're so appreciative for, I wanted to go through what's been going down. So with that in mind, let's get down to business. So at the start of the week, we were talking about a story relating to Coinbase. And the story relating to Coinbase being they had a partnership with the hacking team Now, this partnership is over. Coinbase has been trending on Twitter all week, but for all the wrong reasons. The hashtag delete Coinbase hashtag has circulated on the account of the dubious practices of Neutrino, the company that Coinbase acquired, the blockchain surveillance team it acquired within the company. Now, the California-based exchange has bowed to public pressure and severed ties with key members of the Neutrino team. So last week, an almighty barooka kicked off after it emerged that Coinbase's latest acquisition of Neutrino has an extremely shady past. The blockchain surveillance team's firm founders have been, with their prior ventures, the hacking team, which they worked on, which basically sold software to regimes to spy on its citizens. So if you're a dictator, you'd probably do business with these guys because it made sense. Now, Coinbase CEO Byam Armstrong conceded that we had a gap in our diligence process. When it came to vetting Neutrino, he added, "While we looked hard at the technology and security of Neutrino product, we did not properly evaluate everything from the perspective of our mission and values as a crypto company. We took some time to dig further into this over the past week, and together with the Neutrino team, we have come to an agreement. Those who have previously worked at Hacking Team, despite the fact that they have no current affiliation with Hacking Team, will transition out of Coinbase." Which basically means that they have to pay them to get out of the company now. I mean, what were they thinking to begin with? What crypto represents is not spying on regimes using technology. Like, it's so against that. And Coinbase, who I would argue are one of the leading names in the space, doing that with all the attention that they have on themselves, what did they think was going to happen? So I think it's really interesting now they've come back and they're like, right, okay, we've cut our ties. Before, they were defending it. Now they're like, okay, got it. Cutting ties, moving on. So with that in mind, let's get to the next story. So let's talk about Circle. Circle closes acquisition, seeks $250 million. Circle, the Goldman Sachs-backed company that acquired Poloniex Exchange last year, has announced that following regulatory approval by the American Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, it completed the acquisition of US equity crowdfunding platform and registered broker-dealer Seedinvest. This is meant to enable the firm to explore opportunities for the tokenization of traditional forms of financial contracts such as equities and other securities. The companies say that Seedinvest will continue to operate as normal, but with additional support from Circle. Besides this latest acquisition, Circle has made headlines recently for reportedly seeking to raise an extra $250 million in equity and debt. The company has already raised $246 million from investors to date, and only last May completed a $110 million Series E funding round that included investors such as Bitmain Technologies, Blockchain Capital, Pantera, Digital Currency Group, and other venture firms. And I think that what's really key about this is Circle's done such an amazing job with its acquisition of Poloniex. Poloniex used to be, in 2014-15, was the go-to exchange in the crypto space. That was the exchange. Everybody used it. It was the one. And it fell off the rails. Circle have done a really good job of building it back in, building the support back in, building the flow back in, bringing the volume back in. And I can speak because myself and some of the team have been to a lot of the Circle events taking place in London. I've heard from Jeremy, the CEO, and a lot of the core team over there. Big shout out to Beatrice, who's a regular listener to the podcast as well, and the rest of the team there. They've done an amazing job of really bringing people together, especially here in London, and really telling their story, which I think is really key as a business, is to communicate that. And many exchanges, I think, are going to struggle because they've done extremely well, volumes dropped off, and they don't really know how to bring it back per se. To be market dominant, to be the market leader, you need to have the ability to tell your story. And Coinbase has had a recent issue. Their story was their mission, their values, what they set out to achieve as a company, and they've kind of compromised that a little bit with the recent acquisition. But Circle has done a really good job of bringing people's attention back to Poloniex in a positive way. And I know the team are absolute executors as well, so big shout out to all of them. Oh, and another point there is that Goldman Sachs were in a prior round for Circle funding. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means institutional capital coming into the space. So once again, we're seeing that come through. So let's change gears now. Swift teams up with major banks, SGX, to trial blockchain voting. This is really interesting, so let's find out a little bit more. So financial messaging giant Swift has teamed up with Singapore Exchange and four banks to trial a platform for e-voting based on blockchain technology, the firm said today. Joining the effort to see if distributed ledger technology, DLT, can help make shareholder voting more simple and efficient are Deutsche Bank, DBS, HSBC, Standard Chartered Bank, as well as security software provider SLIB. As in many areas of finance, shareholder voting of corporate decisions is made cumbersome by the current time-consuming and resource-intensive paper-based process, Swift explained. So explaining why DAT has the potential to help solve this issue, the firm said, proxy voting in particular frequently results in error-prone and complex manual processes, which the industry can avoid by fostering greater transparency and automation. The proof of concept, POC, trial sets out a test, a DLT voting solution involving issuers from a central bank securities depository, CSD, and data managed over a permission private blockchain. The partners will also examine the viability of hybrid solutions that merge financial messaging standard ISO 20022 with DLT to boost interoperability and avoid market fragmentation, the announcement states. So Deutsche Bank, HSBC, and Standard Chartered Bank will act as the participants for the effort, while DBS and SGX will act as both participants and issuers. It's not clear from the announcement which CSD will be assisting the POC. Swift will host the trial in a sandbox testing environment, while the partners will use the Swift network and their existing Swift infrastructure and interfaces as they test the technologies. As further aspects of the trial will examine Swift's capacity to host applications in its sandbox and to reuse the security and interface stack for other purposes. I think it's really interesting because Swift are competing with Ripple. Swift are using R3's Corda blockchain as their blockchain solution, right? And what they've done, which is really smart here, is they're like, okay, we see how we can help you additionally from your payment solution. We can also help you with a blockchain voting system. And they're basically creating a value add for themselves as a reason to do business with them. And I think this is a really smart move from Swift to bring all the banks together who they want to do business with and be like, okay, not only can we offer you a payment processing system that utilizes blockchain that's extremely fast, it's going to save you costs, but we can also do like a voting system as well on the blockchain. Check it out. Let's go. I think that's really smart from these guys. And I think that's exactly why they're doing it. I don't think that's the main... that's the main focus. That's just a value add that they can provide as well with their understanding of blockchain. And I'm sure that's the pitch that they're using to the banks. Something else we make a headline today is that people are paying Bitcoin to send weird and wild messages into space. So let's get into this one, man. This is something that definitely caught my attention. So you're not sure where it will end up exactly or who will actually read it, but you type a message, pay a couple of cents in Bitcoin and click the send button. Your message zips through space, yes, space, and then it's broadcasted on a satellite, blanketing the world. The result, a cosmic message in a bottle. That's because the latest novelty in the Bitcoin technical community, it's all made possible with the help of Blockstream Satellite, an eccentric project released over a year ago with the goal of making Bitcoin accessible for people without internet access. Sending messages has gotten easier since then. With the launch of spacebit.live, which is the website, check it out, a simple website that allows users to pay a small fee, the default of which is 3 cents in testnet Bitcoin, to send a message via those satellites across the world. So far, the results are making an interesting study. One message features a journal of some unknown person's thoughts about life in Bitcoin. So here I am, left my job, I have some money to keep me up, and I'm building my first Raspberry Pi Lightning node and broadcasting messages from satellites. Still feels surreal at times. The diary reads, as retrieved by Twitter user Grubbles, a Blockstream satellite user who frequently tweets about the technology. Still hard to grasp the fact that I'm blanketing a big part of the earth with my messages on demand instantly. I wonder, does anybody read these messages? The same person wrote the next day. Another person wrote, love you. You might be more surprised than the content though. The number of messages. Yo, that's crazy AF, reads a message from another unknown user. Someone else sent a poem dedicating to the Lightning Network. Another sent an encrypted rare peep, a limited edition card featuring the politically inflammatory frog meme. Another user sent a note filled with gibberish with the handle of a popular Twitter user who left the social media site called Dang Dark Pill. And that's tagged at the end. I mean, it's pretty interesting because if Blockstream's website is any indication, users are sending a lot of messages using the system, and more messages could soon be on their way. Today, the technology is testnet. But Medium Squeeze hopes it'll move to Bitcoin's live network soon, meaning it'll be used with real Bitcoin. I mean, it's pretty interesting in itself, sending messages to space. I mean, really, who's reading these messages apart from other enthusiasts on Twitter? But I think all the same, the innovation is key. And in fact, I want to send a message now to space. I'm not sure, as these guys are, who's going to read it or how it works, but why not do it? So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. As always, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. What are you waiting for? If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Follow us or hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Type that in. You will find us. What else do you need to know? We're putting out lots of cool, awesome content on YouTube day in and day out. I've just released a new video today. Check it out. The best way to do that is go to YouTube, either type in SVK Crypto or go to www.youtube.com/SVKcrypto.com. If you have any projects you want us to review, feel free to send it our way or to me, CStory, CSTORY @SVKcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.